Previously on Compassion Radio.
You can have friendship in spite of differences between you. And Norma's as good at this as anybody I've ever known.
Yeah, every time he would return from overseas, we'd hear the stories, oh, you wouldn't believe this new friend I made. And he'd tell a whole long story about somebody met at a cafe who just happened to be the finance minister of this nation, or something like that would happen every single time.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, friend, and thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Compassion Radio. Today's conversation is an overflow of a great discussion we started on Monday between Bram Floria and longtime dear friend and ministry partner Jim Jennings. He's president of Conscience International and executive director of U.S. Academics for Peace. There was so much great material that we had to add in a third day. So if you can stick with us for the next 25 minutes, I guarantee it'll be time well spent. Let's dive in right now for part three of Paths to Peace. Here's Bram.
Jim Jennings, president of Conscience International and executive director of the U.S. Academics for Peace, is joining us again today to discuss how to make peace and what is required of people who want to pursue it. Jim, welcome back for one more time on Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. Thank you.
Now, we've talked the past couple of programs about the incredible friendship that erupted between you and Norm Nelson because you ran across each other in the most unlikely of places. But in truth, they were the most likely places because God had already stirred both of you to pursue an intrepid and risky life, bringing peace to places that knew none, and to bring Christ to places, to people who had never even heard of him or even considered him as a personal friend of theirs. And you showed Jesus as a friend by being one. So let's jump into that again today about what it means to be a friend, to be a good Samaritan and a peacemaker at the same time, like you all have been so many times in so many places. And I want you to talk to our young people about what it means to grow up to be a peacemaker. So tell me, what is it like to be a peacemaker, and what would you say to the young people today that sense that God is calling them to be that Matthew 5 and 6 kind of person?
I think, first of all, Bram, it requires an attitude adjustment. In other words, we have to look at ourselves and see what kind of cultural baggage we bring meet people in other countries, and they're different from us. And it's astonishing that you find out that there are like 15 things that characterize an American in terms of the waste time. We want to hurry up. We want to get things yes. done right away. And both Norm and I have been through this dance before. It usually works out when you're overseas, but in another country, but only after a thoroughgoing physical and psychological exhaustion sets in. You have done everything you can, and then the breakthrough that you're talking about happens, I think, with prayer, and I have some things to say about that. But first of all, it's a part of the East is East and West is West cultural dissonance. Hmm. Westerners set up a schedule and budgetary expectations. We need to have a profit at the end of every quarter. We have to meet our budget. We have to meet our schedule. That doesn't correlate with the realities on the ground or even with the social tempo of people in many other countries, and particularly Africa and the Middle East. And so frustration sets in. Boy, it's better to simply go with the flow if you can figure out which way the flow is headed. And that was something that Norm and I learned as we met with hundreds of different officials and people. And you'd see it work out many incidences and lives. And I will say about crossing borders, I learned long ago that borders are permeable if you have enough determination.
Yes.
And maybe the best example would be when Norm and I were trying to get into, let's say, Iraq or into Sudan's Darfur region. There's a teeming continent in Africa, a vast majority of people in the world, that they don't have simple things, education for their children, medical care when needed, and they don't have peace and security.
Yes.
And so all these things are denied to them. It seems to me it's unconscionable for governments to build up armaments when their people are not clothed or fed.
Yes.
In Sudan, the last time I was there, only 4 million people out of a population of 23 million, they have more like over 30 million now, even had electricity, the most basic element of modernity. So these are things that we were confronting. And then how do you deal with it? Well, again, about crossing borders, I've said to people who said after I returned, they prayed for me, and I said I could feel it because we sailed through that border feeling like we had wings on our feet and we were a foot above the ground just sailing through when other people were denied entrance or set for 3 days waiting for approval to get in. That's the way things work in that part of the world very often.
I remember a time in the Eastern Bloc back in the early 80s when we were traveling with a musical group. We had a boatload of records and things we were intending to bring into the country, which were, of course, at that time illegal in every respect. But we knew that churches were begging us to bring as much worship material as possible. So we just boldly drove up to the border with our bus full of material that we knew was illegal, just asking for that cover. We were reading God Smuggler at the time. And so we trusted that the same God of Brother Andrew would be our God. We pulled up to the border, and right ahead of us is a Volkswagen getting ripped to pieces. Panels are out, seats are out, the gas tank has been drained, the whole bit. It turned out the guy in front of us, the next car, was a Baptist missionary. And they had found a single tract in his briefcase. And from that, had enough cause to go rip apart his vehicle and hold him up forever. And of course, it backed us up. So all of the attention was being paid on this poor Baptist missionary in front of us. And then a young soldier comes back and asks who we are. We say we're a music group. He says, really? Have any tapes or CDs or anything? And we said, well, sure. We went back there, got him an album, and he asked us all to sign it. And we gave enough copies for he and the rest of the crew. And they were all very grateful. They got pictures with us. And they waved us around this other missionary and sent us into the country. We left behind, you know, hundreds and hundreds of CDs and tapes and records that helped power a new revival of the worship movement there in Hungary at the time.
Yeah.
I often prayed for that pastor, knowing that he made a sacrifice that God intended. And boy, were we grateful for that. But we also trusted that God would take care of him in the long run as well.
I remember seeing a headline when I realized that the news from the region that we were mostly concerned about, North Africa and East Africa and the Middle East, continues to be distressing even today.
But yes, it does.
Certainly in those days, Iraq and Syria are burning. Sudan's still a tinderbox. A torch has already been applied. Ethiopia, Eritrea, at that time were on the verge of war. No place seemed free of pain. There were hateful scenes of children being dug from the rubble of some of the bombing strikes. The mangled bodies rushed to hospitals in Gaza, for example. A headline from the Middle East News said, mayhem continues. I think that's a suitable phrase. And that's what these last few years have been like in the Middle East. And it's very distressing for people like Normana who want to see if we can help people to find their feet on the ground and to make progress in their lives.
And you said earlier in the program you wanted to talk about the power of prayer. So let's jump into that right now. How did you experience it yourself, and what did you learn about the things that God wants prayed for so that we, as equippers and sustainers who are behind the front lines, can really hold up people like you who are on the front lines?
I think, first of all, Bram, it's in safety and security, because people often say, how can you go into those countries and come out unscathed? And of course, you don't come out unscathed psychologically, because it's hurtful to see the pain that people are going through. Even by being arrested at midnight by Saddam's Mukhabarat secret police, being interrogated, going through the battle lines and seeing burning tanks, it seemed that we had a bubble of protection around us and we came through unscathed. And I think that people, when I come back home, people say, we prayed for you. And I'd say, I sure felt it, because that was the result. And that's something that Norm fervently believed in and advocated, is prayer and then thankful prayer, saying, thank you, God, for loving me. And that was his mantra over and over again.
Yes, it was.
Feeling that we need to understand that God loves us and we are agents of his love. That's something that I learned a great deal from Norman about.
Such a blessing to be able to get these wonderful insights from our dear brother Jim Jennings on today's Compassion Radio. And I promise we'll get right back to his discussion with Bram in just a moment. March is always a special time of year for us, since we officially just celebrated our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry on March 25th.
This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73 or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter. And if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need to understand that God loves us and we are agents of His love. That's something that I learned a great deal from Norman about.
When you met some of the underground church leaders along the way, are there certain hallmarks or imprints of the Spirit on them that you notice time after time?
Yes, indeed. And I think that most of all, it's unshakable faith in God, even if they have been captured, imprisoned, tortured, beaten, threatened, and sometimes killed. Their faith just seemed to be unshakable. And I'm sure as human beings that there was fear, but they believed in God. They believed in what they were doing was right. And sometimes we would meet with them in secret and have like no electricity but candlelights because there was no electricity available. And it seemed to me like these were early Christians hiding from the Roman persecution in the catacombs because the atmosphere was the same. And then you're dealing with sometimes governments who have cynical politicians that stir up illiterate masses with slogans, and they have secret police. Some of those countries are a perfect recipe for a medieval Machiavellian administration.
Yeah.
And now they've got cell phones and computers to aid them. So just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
especially in some of those countries.
I think we have seen an escalation of fear and distress and pain over the last 30 years. And it's a lot of that period that Norm and I have been involved in helping people. And, you know, he used to say, we cannot help everybody, but we can help the next child. Let's stretch out our hands to those who are hurting and put something in their hands that can help them, whether it's food or clothing or medicine. So that's what we have been doing and wanted to do all along.
So these unshakable, faithful saints that you've met along the way, in a season of anxiety and fear, which, of course, is creeping into our discourse in this nation, it seems to be a nonstop refrain now in our country about the fear we have of others.
Right.
That's not going to go away on its own. We have to transform that ourselves from some other source, some other authority that instructs us to change the way we're thinking, bring ourselves in line with truth. And it needs to happen from those who are faithful followers of Christ. We believe that we are truly the peacemakers, the ones that are capable of bringing real peace and real solutions to spiritual problems. If we really believe that, and we're willing to go someplace to be that agent of change, it means a huge amount of humility on our parts if we're going to be effective. So how does God prepare you, Jim, when you step into someplace you've never been before? You have a lifetime's worth of knowledge and wisdom you can rely on. That's no guarantee that you're going to make effective progress. What do you do to get in God's mindset?
I think that when you're out there in a situation that you're not in control of, essentially, it's challenging. But individual acts that are based on a faith premise that we have faith, that this is our calling, this is what we should do, and that God will help us. Individual acts of faith, which also expresses itself in extending your hand of friendship to others, that's, I think, one of the things that enables you to get through, along with the prayers of other people. And also the last second, if you don't stop and don't give up, sometimes at the very last second, this has opened up for us. And that's really pretty amazing. And it gives you a great sense of confidence.
As they say, where are the keys? In the last place you looked. So you stay persistent until you find the thing you're looking for. And that's obviously been the legacy and the heritage that we inherit now from Jim Jennings and from Norm Nelson. Indefatigable kind of commitment to pursue the thing that God says He wants. He wants people to be at peace with God. And therefore, if God can make peace with man when we deserve nothing but annihilation and punishment, then surely, by His Spirit, we can bring peace in places that would never expect it. So I treasure that you all have exemplified for us and are still doing that work of bringing peace and a kind of true spiritual prosperity to places that are impoverished, not just physically, but spiritually. So you're bringing a whole new life to places where there was nothing but desert and death before.
Your words remind me of that. In the difficult parts of the world, in terms of the effort that Norm and I spent and the money that we had to spend to get the job done, we consider it just the cost of doing business. So Norm and I agreed that we would simply have to ask ourselves the question, we ran into difficulties, is this worth doing? And the answer always was the same, definitely it is worth doing.
So we continued to pray that God would give us opportunities and the means with which we can go do those things. And because peace is not cheap, as you're saying, requires sacrifice, we pray as a ministry that God will enable us to be sacrificial in our giving of our time and our lives, and of course our resources to help bring peace where it's needed. And we're talking about the peace that we would normally consider peace, the cessation of conflict. But again, that's only the beginning of providing an opportunity to bring the peace of Christ in and to allow the kingdom to go about doing its work without constant persecution. Although we do know that persecution sometimes is God's very recipe to build that body. And I don't want to take that away from the Spirit to say if he wants conflict to be the instrument of change, we'll let him do it. But he's not telling us to be agents of conflict. He's telling us to be agents of peace. Those two things can live at the same time, that God can use persecution to build a church and build up peacemakers to bring cessation of conflict and bring in new life. It's all going out at the same time. It seems like a very strange, almost contradictory stew of purposes here, but it all somehow works out in God's economy. Talk to us, Jim, in these last few moments of this program. What does it mean to be a peacemaker now, and what would you challenge the next generation to do to fulfill and to carry on this work?
Well, I think we have to look ahead and see that time is moving swiftly and that the effect of actions now will reverberate into the future. You know, we had a history of advocacy and opposition to sanctions of any sort, and we were called in to meet officials and shaken down, actually, by the intelligence services and the security services. But it always opened up, and I'm so thankful for the people who supported us and donors who entrusted funds to us because of our determination to actually present a helping hand to people. The peacemaking, I think, is maybe more difficult because it takes a longer time to make friends and to develop a bridge. What I often say when I stood up in the banquets and celebrations that the government would sometimes give us, I would say, we came here to build bridges of peace. When they have a war, the first thing to happen in Baghdad and in Mosul in the current battle there is that the combatants destroy the bridges. Right. They did that in World War II as well. And we're here to build bridges. Again, it comes back to simple friendship, but also having a purpose that's high and noble and never giving up. Mm. Be persistent. Those things, I think, are very simple. But they work.
They are prime values, no doubt. Now, they're not discovered to be forceful agents of change until they're actually put to use or tested. I'm thankful that there are professional friend makers out there like you, exemplifying for us again what it means for a friend to go not just the extra mile, but to go, as you say, across the borders, to find them to be permeable because of persistence. And that's an important principle to keep in mind. And I know Brother Andrew has said this before, there are no closed doors to the gospel, provided you're not concerned about coming back again. You can always get in. You may not always be guaranteed a return path, though. Although, every time you and Norm have gone, God's brought you back, and we're grateful for that. But I know from your example and your testimony that even if you knew you were not coming back and God said to go, you'd go, because you're that obedient. We, friends, need to learn from that example. Jim, I'm going to be praying for you that God will give you many more years of effective ministry and outreach like you're doing now, and that you will connect with a whole new generation of peacemakers in the countries you travel to, so that when this current conflict with ISIS, Daesh, as you call them, is over, and that particular enemy is defeated, that real peace can come in its wake because of the tree of life you've been planting in the hearts of men and women all along the way. And that those friendships become eternal ones. So we'll keep lifting you up in that. I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, before we close today, to pray for us. And we'll pray with you about the kind of things that God's put on your heart, the people that you want to reach next, the places of conflict that are burning a hole in your heart because you know that they so desperately need the gospel to come to life where they are.
We pray for that, Bram, and I would like to pray with you. Lord, help us in our sense of impoverishment and lack of power to see that you have all the power that we need to achieve the goals that you've set before us, which is to love others, bring them closer to the kingdom of God. Thank you for those people who are supporting this ministry of Compassion Radio. We ask that you will encourage their hearts in the work that Bram and others are doing. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Jim, if you would, give us information again about how we can find you on the Internet and learn more about your current efforts.
It's simple, ConscienceInternational.org. It's one word, Conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, International, one word, .org. Our website then gives information about the places we're working.
Amen. Do that, folks. Learn more about Conscience International, if you would. At least understand the breadth of the outreach that the church at large is doing internationally. There are a lot of different ways to reach out, and you may not know of this one, so it's time you do. Thank you again, Jim, for being with us on Compassion Radio.
God bless you.
What a great conversation today between Bram and our special guest, Jim Jennings. Now, Bram and his wife, Sandy, are going to drop in just a moment with a special closing word, so stay close. Hey, real quick, I want to mention once again that Compassion Radio hit a tremendous milestone over the weekend that is really worth celebrating. This past Saturday, the 25th, marked our 73rd year of ministry on radio. 73 years of God's faithfulness to us in this ministry, which was originally known as the Morning Chapel Hour. That said, would you consider an extra special 73rd anniversary gift above and beyond your usual support? Maybe a gift of $5 or $10 for each year you've listened to the broadcast. Remember, no gift is too small, and if thousands of us join together, there's just no telling how God can multiply what you give in amazing ways. Our phone lines are open, and Paula or Lena would love to take your call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Oh, and one more item. Ask for your copy of the Lee Strobel booklet we're offering this month, The Case for Easter, with your gift of any size to Compassion Radio. But don't delay. We want to make sure we can get it into your hands before Easter arrives. That's The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. Yours this month by request for your gift of any size this anniversary month at Compassion Radio. Let us hear from you today. And with the last word, Bram and Sandy Floria.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was in fact a real person. He died and rose again for him. Watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a
your copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Before we go, here's a special reminder for our friends who listen to Compassion Radio. We consider it a privilege to share God's Word with you and stories of Christ's accomplishments here each day. The Lord has allowed us to partner together and minister the good news and compassion of Jesus Christ. Toward that end, your financial support right now will determine the future of Compassion Radio here in this area. Call or write to us now with your gift. Your involvement means the world to us. Thanks again for your support. Our toll-free number, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address once again, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, as always, at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.